Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm going to present the understanding of seven Meccan surahs belonging to the sixth group of surahs, starting from Surah Qaf and ending with Surah Al-Baqiyah. This group also has 10 Madanan surahs beginning from Surah Al-Hadid and ending in Surah At-Tahrim. Although, as has been the case with almost all the groups of the Quranic surahs in this group as well, what we find is that although all different important subjects discussed in the entire Quran have been discussed in this group as well, yet what we find quite clearly is that there is one prominent theme that overrides all the entire group and all the surahs of the group. In this case, the case of the sixth group of Quranic surahs, the predominant theme is the life hereafter. The presentation of these surahs has been made in a manner that all misunderstandings and all propaganda against the understanding of the life hereafter have been removed, and whatever there was there in the minds of the people to not consider the hereafter as important and significant, all those obstacles, all those mental blocks were removed through these surahs. Surah Qaf and Surah Zariyat are the first two surahs amongst these seven Meccan surahs. They of course form a pair as well. And in Surah Qaf, it has been mentioned that people of Mecca were surprised to find out that there was a messenger from amongst them who was given, assigned the task of warning people and of telling them that there lies beyond this life another life which they have to encounter, for which they will have to face dire serious consequences if they are not going to pay heed to the message that is being delivered to them. In this surah, the Quran begins by saying that بَلْ عَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءَهُمْ مُنْزِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. The fact of the matter is that they are surprised and they are bewildered by the fact that there has come to them a warner from amongst their own people, so that these disbelievers say that this is a very strange thing that has happened. In other words, creating doubts regarding the claim of the Quran that it was the word of God, simply because they thought that it doesn't appeal to them that a man who is a part of them, who has been a part of their past, who was a part of their society and living like they lived, to have been chosen by the Almighty to deliver the message to him, to them. The Quran goes on to clarify that this has been the practice of the Almighty all along, when he sent messengers from time to time, all of them coming from their very own people. And it really has never been a problem in requiring people to be sent a messenger who is a part of their own community. The Quran alludes to a number of signs that are there in the environment, in the surroundings of all humans, like the sky, the heavens, the rainfall, and the lush green crops and orchards and the different fruits that the Almighty has enabled us to benefit from. The Almighty asks this question, that if he can create all these blessings for the benefit of the humans from dust, from the fields which were dead and lifeless, why would it not be possible for the Almighty to create humans once again after they are dead, especially when recreating them is something which is important from the point of view of the Almighty's grand plan of creating this life for a trial? The Quran also goes on to mention that the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, is required to warn people of grave consequences through this Quran. And the Prophet has been asked, فَذَكِّرْ بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ يَخَافُ وَعِيدٍ, that you remind people, you make them aware of the realities of the life hereafter through this Qur'an. Because it is the Qur'an, the Word of God, the most effective source of reminding people of the realities of this life. It is only through this Qur'an that the Messenger and his followers should communicate the message of God. That is what all preachers of Islam ought to do. Because if we were to deliver our message through our own imagination, through the speeches and lectures prepared by ourselves, that would not have the kind of effect and influence on the minds of people compared to the influence that the Quranic verses and the understanding of those verses will have. The next surah is Surah Az-Zariyat, which is clarifying the same understanding, but in other words, in another style. It says, إِنَّمَا لَتُوَعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٍ وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٍ. O people, what you have been promised is true, and the day of judgment and the hereafter is bound to take place. It is a reality. The Quran mentions in this surah the fact that the Almighty is going to recreate all those people who were dead, and it's going to be as simple and as easy for him as it is simple and easy for us to talk and to speak to each other. For God to recreate is not going to be a real issue and problem. It is in this surah, Surah Az-Zariyat, that we find the famous verse which mentions the real purpose why humans were created. It says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn nor men except for the purpose that they should worship me. It is the worship of the Almighty, his ibadah, to have the right attitude of serving God Almighty, to be all the time inclined to acknowledge his blessings and to be humbled before him and to serve him, to rely upon him, to be patient in the case of adversities. This is the right attitude, the attitude for which we were created. So that we in this worldly life are required to be worshipping God both intellectually as well as physically. That is, at the intellectual level, we have to acknowledge the reality of this world, the true status of God Almighty, our Creator. And on the practical plane, we have to submit before him our bodies, our physical self, and all our activities. The other verse which is important to be noted in this particular surah is the verse that says, وَمِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And in whatever we have created them in pairs so that you may ponder and reflect. That is, what the Almighty has done through the scheme of this creation is that he has made humans and everything else in pairs so that all people reflect and ponder and come to this understanding and conclusion that if this world sets the example and tone for the pair theory, whereby everything has been created in pairs, there has to be a pair for this worldly life, which although is very important, although has lots of meanings, lots of things to offer, yet it is incomplete, it has flaws, and it needs another partner to pair with it to complete the whole, to make it meaningful like every other existence in this world. And that partner of this worldly life is the life hereafter, without which this life doesn't make sense. The next surah is Surah Tur. And this surah too is a very stern warning to the disbelievers that the life to come is a reality. It is going to be a grim reality for all those people who are not inclined to take it seriously. So that the Quran mentions in this surah that what you have been promised is indeed going to happen. It is bound to take place, and there is no denying the fact that man is to come to life again for accountability. In this surah, the Almighty mentions a very important, attractive proposition to the humans. And that is that if people are to believe truly in God and His message, and if they are to follow His message properly, they, as well as their families, their progeny, their parents, their siblings, all of them are going to be allowed to come together and live in the eternal life of bliss and luxury in the hereafter. There could be nothing more attractive for a decent human being than to imagine the possibility of him living in a life of beauty, excellence, contentment, and more importantly, a life where the Almighty is satisfied with his actions and whatever he's doing, and living in the company of all those close relatives and friends whom he had come close to and admired in the worldly life. This surah is followed by Surah An-Najm, which is a surah that primarily clarifies the misunderstanding, the misgiving, the false perception of the people of Mecca and the polytheists, who believed that even if there was to be a life hereafter, that life would not really be any serious affair for them to be worried about, because after all, they have already decided to serve many deities, non-God, Aliha, the deities, whom they were serving all along with a view to ensure that they would take their case, plead for them before the Almighty, and not allow them to be punished by Him. In other words, the concept of intercession is what made people of Mecca and the polytheists to not be very seriously inclined to take the life hereafter and its concepts seriously, and to therefore change and amend and improve their life and their conduct accordingly. Because if there is a life hereafter, and the accountability process in the hereafter is absolutely based on merit, and there is going to be no intercession allowed to anybody, then of course an individual's worldly life would most certainly change for the positive. Because if I realize that after my death, and nobody knows when one would die, after my death, I'll be held accountable for my deeds. Nobody knows what is going to happen. If one were not to perform well, one would most certainly take will have to face a stern accountability. But if somehow this understanding has been cultivated in the minds of people that no matter whatever they do in this life, howsoever wrong they do, howsoever they might be corrupt and be deceiving people and causing them pains and difficulties, they would still be rescued in the hereafter through the services of those non-God deities whom they had served. If that is the concept of intercession, then of course no amount of reminding of the life hereafter would help such people to improve themselves, their performance and behavior in this worldly life. So that the Quran in Surah An-Najm has clarified that the life hereafter is a reality, and there is not going to be any intercession, false intercession, that is going to be allowed in the hereafter. The rule, the general principle in the hereafter is, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man is not going to get the benefit of anything except for what he himself does. That is, it is only what we do, what we perform in this worldly life, that is going to be seen in the form of rewards and punishments in the life hereafter. No one else would be able to come to our rescue. Nobody would be able to come to help us in the life hereafter, because it is the life, it is a life where only one's own performance would count, and the performance of nobody else would have any influence, any bearing on our future. Likewise, the same surah says, لَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul that is bearing the burdens would bear the burden of anybody else. Each individual, in other words, is going to bear his own burden. And therefore, this accountability process is going to be absolutely fair. And if that is true, then all humans would do well to make sure that they perform in this worldly life as best as is possible for them, or else they would find that the life hereafter, the eternal life, the unending existence, is going to be an extremely bitter one for them, and there would be no reason, no possibility for them to make amends and to change their fate thereafter, because it's only this life which is meant for as a trial, and it is the life hereafter which is the culmination and the end result outcome of the trial of this life. Then we move on to the next three surahs, the last three Meccan surahs of this group. And begins with Surah At-Tur, which Surah Al-Qamar, forgive me, which is the surah that actually describes the stories of different messengers, Rasul, one after the other. In each case, continues to repeat the verse, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلْزِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُتَّكِرٍ. That indeed we have made this Qur'an most suitable, appropriate, and simple for the purpose of reminder. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُتَّكِرٍ. So is there anybody who is prepared to seek lesson and draw inspiration from it? That is what the surah continues to repeat after mentioning the stories of each of the messengers. It mentions Nuh alayhi salam, Hud alayhi salam, Salih alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, and finally it talks about the fate of Pharaoh, Pharaon as well. And in each case it mentions the same fact that when this worldly punishment was inflicted upon the peoples who received the message of their messengers, why is it that the people of Mecca, who are also rejecting the message of another messenger, why would they not be punished? So that the Quran mentions after the description of the stories of all these messengers by saying, أَكُفَّارُكُمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أُولَٰئِكُمْ. Is it that your disbelievers are better than the earlier disbelievers? أَمْ لَكُمْ بَرَاتٌ فِي الزُّبُرِ. Or is it that, O disbelievers, you have some kind of an immunity which is written in some scripture? That is, you do not have any reason to feel comfortable and to not be fearful of the outcome, of the end result of the message, that is, the process of the message that is being delivered to you. And you've been warned over and over again that, like you, there were many earlier nations who got destroyed because they did not behave properly in the wake of the message of God that was delivered to them. And be absolutely sure that if you continue to follow the same path, you will also meet with the same fate as was met by the nations that rejected the earlier messengers. After Surah Al-Qamar, we have Surah Ar-Rahman, which has the famous repeating, continuously repeating verse, فَبِأَيِّ عَلَىٰي رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. One important clarification that needs to be made with regard to this verse is that although the famous translation of Allah, the word Allah, is blessings, yet it seems to be a much more comprehensive and much more all-encompassing word than the word blessing can accommodate. So that probably majesties or a similar word would be more appropriate for the translation of this word. This is important to be clarified, because the surah also mentions the punishments that are going to be meted out to the people who would be in the hell. And of course, the word blessing in their case is not the most suitable of words, the most suitable word. Surah Rahman and Surah Al-Waqi'ah are both describing the a reward of the people who performed well in this worldly life, and mentions that they are going to be provided with two different levels of paradises of Al-Jannah, and their blessings have been described, while there is going to be one hell, which of course is going to have many different categories and levels, yet the description of the heaven and the hell is the predominant theme of these two surahs. All in all these seven surahs are talking about the life hereafter more particularly, and they are talking about the message which requires the readers to lead this life in a manner that this life is a trial and the next life is the culmination and the end result of the trial. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand the entire Quran to the best of our abilities, and may He enable us to follow it as best as we can.